Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Hello and welcome to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Jared Goff at 10:30 today. We'll talk with the Lions quarterback on what is a it's a fun week because they got a big win and they have a huge game coming up. So we'll get with Jared Goff. It's always interesting to talk to, hear what he has to say today at 10:30. Scott Anderson, how are you today?
I'm fine, Doug Karsh.
That's good.
Yeah.
What's up?
I got a good night's sleep last night. That's always good. It's always good.
Yeah.
Wasn't happy about the Tigers game. I don't think anybody is right now. But
dude, that was like instant buzzkill. Like the way
Kerry Carpenter ties it in the bottom of the ninth, and then was it the second pitch of the tenth inning, and then it was just
here we go.
Yeah, it was bad.
Wow, that's look at that. There's a flare. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little disappointing with that, but another opportunity to get out there tonight and you know, win the game tonight. I think it would be a kick below the midsection to Cleveland if you win the game tonight, because they feel like they got all this momentum and need to stop this train from rolling. They've won 10 out of 11 games here. I mean, they are on an absolute tear. We did have, it wasn't that long ago, it was a 13.5 game lead. Mm-hmm. Remember, it got down to like 4.5 and then it ballooned right back up. Well, now it's back down to 5.5. So I'm not nervous, but I just would certainly like a win tonight would go a long way for my sanity, I think.
We were in an era like in the last few weeks where you would say, they really need to win this game. And I would say to you, I'm not playing my really need to win this game card yet.
Right.
I am not playing my really need to win this game card tonight.
Well, here's the thing. I have lots of those cards.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm holding on to the cards and using them when more necessary. I'm identifying where those cards sit. I mean, okay, do I know where that card is that they really need to win this game card? But look, I mean, Kerry Carpenter's heroics were awesome. I mean, that moment was awesome. He took a called strike that he didn't like. He called time, stepped out of the box. Like, you could see him take a deep breath because it was a 1-0 pitch, made the count 1-1, then it was 2-1, and he hit the 2-1 pitch out, and it felt like it should have been 3-0. And, you know, just the calmness that he recalibrated, and boy, let me tell you something. That was such a electric moment, and then and buzzkill
and then gone.
City. And it's too bad because he wasn't the only one. It was, I mean, Tyler Holton's heroics, limiting damage, Montero out of the bullpen. And as much as they lost the game, Will Vest had I felt like they lost the game on the base pass as much as anything, getting guys thrown out at home, thrown out of second base, which, you know, we talk about the triangulation of wins includes them being good on the base pass as part of the offense. They were not. And like, even the, I give Cleveland credit, even the should have been Scooble double that Kwan cut off.
Scooble.
Why do I do that? I do that a lot. The Torkelson double, Torque Scooble.
There's a K in there.
Yeah. Yeah, because Scooble doesn't hit. That should be one of my key clues, is that Scooble is a pitcher. But the Torkelson should have been double, and it was Kwan that cut it off, right?
Kwan had the game last night that screams why you don't trade Stephen Kwan. He does every little thing extraordinarily well. The only thing he doesn't do well, apparently he doesn't have a strong arm, but his arm's accurate. And you make up for not having a strong arm by running your ass off into the corner, fielding the ball, and in one fell swoop, you have twisted, turned, and thrown the ball in one motion. And gunning out, I mean, he did the two plays. Gunned out Abanias at the plate by getting it into the shortstop, and then he made a great throw. And, you know, that play in the corner, Torkelson rips this ball. It should be a double by all accounts. It's a double. Nope. Stephen Kwan hustled his ass over there. Again, one move, throws to second base, and Tork's like, nope,
it was it was a really good defensive play. And Tork might have been a little gun-shy after getting thrown out on
the ball that trickled away. There were all these little plays that Cleveland made, and happened to, Kwan made three of them. He had the two in the outfield, and then he had the at-bat in the 10th inning, which was amazing. You know, just reaches down, puts the bat head on it, and gets it past first base, and it's in the corner. Those three plays mattered. The Torkelson getting gunned down at second base mattered. You heard, even when you go back, and it's missed opportunities, like Zach McKinstry coming up to pinch hit the 9th inning. And you heard Jason Benetti say it. You know, hey, it would be great if he gets on base. Maybe Kerry Carpenter hits you a 2-run home. I'm not saying, you know, doing the old prediction game. But yes, of course, it would have been great. He didn't get on base.
Got on three pitches.
Yeah, and then Kerry Carpenter just launches that 429-foot home run to straightaway center field. But, you know, it's a game. It's a loss. It sucks. You throw it in the garbage and move on to the next game. And that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, you can take positives out of it. Torkelson had the four hits in the game, and he really hit the ball hard, hit the home run in the 10th inning. Unfortunately, it didn't matter. But they did some things well, and they did some things not so well that Cleveland did extraordinarily well. So that's the kind of attention to detail. It's a reminder. You got to play like that. Cleveland outdid the Tigers. The Tigers tried to play their game, take the extra base, and Cleveland said, not up in here.
248-539-9797. We'll kind of zoom out, look at the big picture, what it means for this Tiger team, and look ahead for this Tiger team. Jared Goff joins us today at 10:30 for our weekly chat. Moved back a day because of the Monday Night Football game, so their whole week gets shifted a day. So in the building down at Allen Park, today is Tuesday. For the rest of us, it's Wednesday. In Allen Park, it is Tuesday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so context. Let's put last night's loss into context here a little bit, because the Tigers lose to Cleveland. Cleveland's playing sort of a must-win-it series, and the Tigers are playing a, you know, try to close out Cleveland series, and Cleveland wins game one, and that's the deal, and so this thing's down to 5.5. I'll start with this. I'm not panicked about the division, not at all. 5.5 game lead with 11 games left for Detroit, 12 for Cleveland. Let's put it into context. If the Tigers really wet the bed and go 4-7 the rest of the way, Cleveland has to go 10-2 to tie Detroit. And they would likely then, if they go 10-2 and the Tigers go 4-7, Cleveland would likely hold the tiebreaker. That would mean that Cleveland finished the season, because they're on that streak of winning 11 of 12. That would mean that Cleveland finished the season going 21-3 in the final 24 games. If that's a pace they can keep up, bravo. I mean, and that's if the Tigers go 4-7 the rest of the way. And so, you know, I would not flip spots with Cleveland. I would not want to be the team that won 11 of 12, but was still 5.5 games back with 12 games to go, and the opponent has 11 games to go. If Scooble pitches Thursday and looks bad and or has any reoccurrence of whatever took him out of the game this past weekend, then I might panic, okay? But I'm more worried about that start being good than this team blowing the division. Now, that's one hurdle, right, is winning the division. Zooming out, bigger picture, they have a 2-game lead over Seattle for the number 2 seed, but Seattle owns a tiebreaker, so it's essentially a 1-game lead. And, you know, if they blow that, I think that's very unfortunate. Again, Seattle's one of those teams that's white hot right now. Do they have a sustainable pace? We'll see. This all comes down to AJ and Fett and Cora and everybody getting them right. The Tigers could win the World Series. I have no question about that. I'm perfectly confident in saying that that is not a ridiculous statement. But they have to get back to being the best version of themselves, and the people that are in control of that, I have faith in this coaching staff, this manager and his staff, and I have faith in this roster. It's just there's been fits and spurts of them looking pretty bad, and you know they're not a dominant team. They're not the kind of team that that's going to win 110 games, obviously. So, you know, they got to get back to the best version of themselves. And I really think it is important that they get this 2 seed.
Well, it'd be great if they get the 2 seed. And obviously Seattle's team is chasing them now. And, you know, Houston's right on the same pace, basically. They're only a half game behind Seattle. And those two teams will play each other in a 3-game series coming up after Seattle's done with Kansas City. Seattle also has to finish the season against the Dodgers. So it's not like they got the easiest road to finish up. But this is baseball, and every team goes through their stretches where they don't play well. Every team goes through stretches where maybe they're just 500. They're not as great as they were to start off, or maybe they start off poorly and they finish hot. Whatever the case is, that's why the 162 games mean something. But carrying that momentum into the playoffs, you can't always bank on it. You just can't. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. You don't know what you're going to get. Hopefully the Tigers can clinch one of those top 2 seeds. Doesn't look like they'll get the top seed. They're trailing Toronto by a significant amount at this point. But yeah, it would be great if they could to set up the pitching and give themselves a little bit of a break to kind of catch their breaths here. But the Tigers are talented. Maybe they're not talented with all the high-end players. Guys, you're like, wow, this guy could be a future, you know, 8-time All-Star or something like that. They had a bunch of all-stars on the team this year, but now—
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Not everybody's playing at that level at this time. In the first half of the season, those guys were deserving of getting all-star nods. Second half of the season, it's been a different story. But that's, again, that's just baseball. I'm not going to get terribly nervous unless Cleveland sweeps this series. And then I'm going to be like, uh-oh, that's not good. That's not going to sit well. And because it does a couple things. It keeps Cleveland's fire going, and they are on full charge. Cleveland saw by example what the Tigers did last year to get into the playoffs. and they know that right now they're on a heater. The other side of that is if the Tigers start ceding all these games to Cleveland, if they get swept by the gribe here, then what does that do for the Tigers' confidence? You know, is it just, oh, thank God they're out of town? Well, you got another team that comes in town this weekend that you have to take care of. It's a grind. You've got 12 games left. You've got to finish strong, or 11 games left. Finish strong.
248-539-9797. Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. It's from an unnamed texter. This is a direct result of Scott Harris doing absolutely nothing at the deadline. This is 100% his fault, and he should be fired over it.
Okay.
I completely checked out after the trade deadline. If the front office doesn't care and doesn't want to win, why should I watch?
So they added Finnegan, who has literally been perfect since he got here. Yeah. He then went on the IL for a quick stint, and hopefully they have him back. They think maybe as early as next week he comes back to this team. They added Montero, who's actually been very good for the Tigers out of the bullpen as well.
He's coming off a bad outing over the weekend, but he recorded four outs with four strikeouts last night.
Yeah. So
in a high-leverage situation, close game late.
He pitched very well for them last night. Seawald was another pitcher they got. They hope to get him back this weekend. Like Friday, he might make his Tigers debut. And that's another guy that can make a difference. They added a couple of starting pitchers that have helped and not helped so much. I think they give some a mixed bag there with Charlie Morton and Paddock. But I mean, that's a lot of acquisitions. That's five players right there that they did add at the trade deadline. Now, was it the guys that you wanted? Maybe not. And did you want to go all in on Suarez, who hasn't done a ton for Seattle since that trade happened? Okay. Do whatever you want to do. But I don't have a problem with where they're at right now. And I'm not going to say, oh, the trade deadline, that's where they missed out. Because did they? They wanted bullpen arms. And they got bullpen arms that have really helped them out.
Well, I mean, one of them's hurt right now, right? So it's hard to but he's supposed to be back. And another one's hurt and hasn't pitched yet, but is supposed to be debuting soon. And I find that one to be very interesting. How much do you have to love a guy to go get him and he's hurt? Because you don't trade for hurt players when you need immediate help unless you think that hurt player really can help you when he gets back. I mean, Bednar's been decent, certainly. I mean, last night he gave up a home run, but
rough start when he got to the Yankees.
Jake Bird was terrible for them after, and you mentioned Suarez. It's hard for me to escape that this is not one of the most arrogant texts we'd ever get. They didn't do it my way, so I'm not going to watch. And that's how it comes across to me.
So Suarez has played 42 games with Seattle. He has 22 RBIs in the 42 games. Mm-hmm. He has 9 home runs in those 42 games as well. He's hitting 165, and his OPS is 613. His WAR is negative 0.2.
He made the difference? We were suspicious that he might drop off before the trade deadline came and went and talked about it on the air, before he got dealt.
Now, the thing is, he could have some moments. I mean, he does have 9 home runs with them in the 42 games. Could some of those have been moments, game winners? I haven't looked to see if it was game-winning RBIs or totals or whatever. But
he's had some moments.
There could be some moments in there. But overall numbers are nothing to write home about. The 613 OPS? What?
248-539-9797. More here. I think if they get swept, if they even make the playoffs, it doesn't matter. It's a 3 or 5-game series. They're getting swept. I think they get swept. Okay, punctuation, my man. This is all one sentence. I think they get swept. If they even make the playoffs, doesn't matter. If it's a 3 or 5-game series, they're getting swept.
Who thinks they get swept against Cleveland and they also get swept in the playoffs?
Yeah. The normally upbeat Kerry Carpenter had a scowl on his face. This is the next text. The normally upbeat Kerry Carpenter had a scowl on his face when they showed him in the dugout after the last out. That was an abomination by Vest, who has been terrible the last month. Sweeney and Rogers are liabilities on the bench, pounding the ball at 199 and 198, respectively. There is certainly, players that play a very specific role that may or may not be on the postseason roster. I mean, you know, the fact is Trey Sweeney's going to play a lot more against left-handed pitching, and they'd like to get him more at bats. Against right-handed pitching, and that's where he's struggling, and he should be better than that. And maybe he's not on the postseason roster. Jake Rogers is going to be on the postseason roster because you're going to have two cuts. It's a Wednesday, and we start to turn the corner. Look forward to the weekend. You know, there's a rhythm to the football season, like that you get into. You know, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday games. Exhale Tuesday, Wednesday. By Wednesday, you get later in the day. I'm like, oh, there's not a football game on tonight, but I'm into the rhythm. Of course, working the games, like I've got my routines down. I'm down at the building on Tuesdays getting ready for the Michigan game.
Yeah.
Yep. And getting schooled on the opponent on Tuesdays. And then everything gets pushed back. Like, I love the Monday night game, but I find that Sundays, I'm like, no Lions game today.
You know what I mean? Right. 100%. Right. So I'm going through the same thing, like, and thinking ahead. All right. So do I want to just sit and watch Red Zone all day, or do I want to go play golf?
Yeah. Golf can be in the cards.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, I should play.
What are you doing Sunday? You want to play golf?
I would love to play golf. Let me look at the schedule. I'd want to do it early because I would want to watch NFL games. So you want to go early?
Hey, how early?
First tee time?
No, not that early.
That's a problem. All right, let's talk to the quarterback. Jared, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. What a game on Sunday. From week one to week two, what was the biggest improvement offensively you guys made in your eyes?
Yeah, you know, I think we talked about after week one, we just communicated better and executed on the stuff that we practiced. We improved. We really did. We got better in those 3 days in practice and focused up a little bit, got more intentional on some of the details, and it showed up in the game.
Can you give us a specific example where that communication improvement really paid off, and maybe something might look a lot easier than it actually was?
I really think, you know, every single play up front from the O-line, and it's just reps with those guys. They're all great players, but just getting on the same page and feeling like they're gelling together and starting to, you know, understand each other's calls and their movements and how they want to hit certain blocks. I think all that stuff came to fruition up front. I thought they played incredibly. I thought the pass protection was as good as I've ever played behind. And it's only looking up for those guys. They've done a great job, and it'll take another good week of practice to try to do it again.
Is some of that easily explained away simply because you guys played at home and it's quiet for the offense to work?
No. We should be able to communicate just as well on the road. It's not as easy on the road, but you should be able to do it just as well. The good teams do, at least.
Could you see maybe the pep and the step of the young guys, the two guards that are getting their first taste of real action here, that Sunday was maybe a relief for them? Hey, we can do this at this level, that the confidence was growing from week one to week two?
Yeah, I don't see it as a relief at all. I think that both those guys know that they can play. They're both great players. All five of the guys are great players, and those two guys in particular, just with the limited reps they've had, getting them more and more opportunities, more and more reps, all that's great for them. So, yeah, I think just from week one to week two, they both improved, and they both looked great. They both looked more comfortable. They both looked more confident, like you said. But they are confident players. There's not like they're not like looking for answers. They're both really good players, and it was good to see them play well.
You said something earlier that I want to follow up on because it's quite a statement. You said the pass protection Sunday was as good as you've ever played behind. Is that really the case?
That's
something to be said. Given
how many sacks?
Yeah, none.
None.
And I think I got hit once on a scramble.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's pretty unheard of. So they were incredible. They were great. They held up all day, and those guys aren't a bad front over there. They got Grady Jarrett, they got Montez Sweat, they got dudes over there who have been in the league for a long time, who have gotten a ton of sacks, and I thought they did a great job.
How would you describe your working relationship with Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Pretty sweet. I mean, he's as good as they get in our league, and I think I've said it a couple times this week, but we push each other. We really do. We try to pull the best out of each other, and we're constantly communicating, constantly trying to stay on the same page and get better and improve. And I think, you know, he's a guy with his work ethic, and you know, I like to think my work ethic as well. We just continue to push each other and try to find ways where we can find that extra 1% and get better. And I thought two throws in particular, two of the touchdowns, it really showed up on some of the stuff we worked on.
If you guys were to appear on a game show, and it's you, and it's Amon-Ra, and it's your wife, and it's a test to see who knows you better, who is going to answer the questions more accurately about you, Jared Goff? You, your wife, or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
My wife, for sure. But I get what you're saying. It's not that far off. I know he knows me well, and I know him well, but not quite that intimate. But yes, we are great working relationship.
500 yards in offense. You guys threw 52 points, and it's crazy to see how efficient you guys were in all aspects of the game, and specifically on the offense with the five touchdowns, the 300 yards, 177 yards rushing was really very, very impressive. And yet, there's points left out on the field, weren't there?
Yeah, I really did. I thought so. Certainly in the first half. You know, I think that's something that we can improve on this week is points off of turnovers. Man, it's huge. Our defense got three there in the first half, I believe, and I think we only scored off of one of them, and had three and a half and up another. And you know, it's our job on the offense when that things happen. When those things happen, we gotta smell blood, man. We gotta really, you know, turn it on right there on those first few plays. Just get that first down, get us into at least field goal range, and then try to score from there in the red zone. But yeah, certainly we need to turn that 7 out of, you know, what was possibly 21 into, you know, at least 14, 17, 20, you know, 21 points.
Jared, I want you to expand on something you said earlier, because you guys played at Green Bay. The communication was an issue. Week 2, you said it's better. And you've also said it shouldn't matter home or road. What is that basically to say that when you go to Baltimore and it's going to be loud, communication is not going to be an issue because you guys have corrected that game 1 to game 2?
No, I'm not going to sit here and give them a soundbite to play in pregame.
Good point.
No, that place is loud. They'll be rocking. They'll be going. But as a quarterback, who I think, you know, it's part of my job is communication. I've been doing it for 10 years. I've done it on the road in a lot of hostile environments. No, yeah, we should be able to handle it. We should be able to handle the noise. We should be able to communicate well. We shouldn't be affected by it if we are who we say we are.
So one thing that we have seen is Isaac Tesla make two of the probably the two best first two catches in the history of the NFL.
For sure.
And yet, any time you throw to him, that's somewhat another one of your great weapons that isn't going to get thrown to. How does he get more integrated into an offense that's already loaded? Or is it as simple as his time will come, his day will come, and we're lucky to have him?
Yeah, I think just expanding, you know, what we're asking him to do offensively. And I think he can do those things. He showed a ton of flashes of being able to do a ton of stuff during training camp. It's just in these first couple games, being a younger player, working him into the fold and getting him ready there. And I know that first week he had the illness that kind of took him out of practice a little bit. But yeah, no, I think he's earned some more reps potentially and getting some different types of routes and does a lot of things right, blocks well, plays hard. The catches are kind of a byproduct, you know, are cool for everyone to see, but he's doing a lot of other things well within our offense and certainly deserves a chance to do some other things.
Can you kind of take us through the one more thing about the game against the Bears? The two-minute warning going into the 2 minutes, really, I should say, going into halftime. The Bears had just scored to make it a 21-14 game. Game's still in the balance there. What are you saying to the guys in the huddle? And, you know, you get that whole drive was incredibly efficient. And then you get the play at the end with Tesla and then the whole clock stuff. Can you take us through what was going on there?
Yeah, I thought it was a great drive. I thought it was really one of our first chances to do that end of half 2 minute drive. I can't remember if we had one in Green Bay, but I know we didn't convert on it if we did. But yeah, getting a chance to go, you know, the full length of the field there and you always just want to start off with a completion, whatever it may be. You just want to get that first completion, get that first down, and things kind of tend to roll like that. A minute and 50 with, I believe we had all of our timeouts or at least two of them. You know, that's a lot of time. And so I knew that. We knew that on offense, and there was no one in a hurry to get down there. We knew we had plenty of time, and yeah, we're able to get down there, and Tesla makes the great catch for whatever it was, 20 or 30 yards, and the next play, throw it to Saint.
Tell us about Baltimore's defense. How will they challenge you guys this week?
Yeah, they're great. They're a great unit, man. They always have been, always will be, it seems, as long as those coaches are there and those players, man. They've done a great job, obviously, for years, and we'll have our hands full. It'll be fun. It'll be Monday Night Football. Everyone will be watching. It'll be loud. It'll be ruckus. We'll have to be on our P's and Q's, and if we want to come out of the land, we're going to have to play well.
You still have the advantage of the Lions fans taking over other team stadiums. Tell the fans how much that helps to have that much presence on the road.
Yeah, it's fun, man. It really is. It really is cool. And even week one, dude, I know we didn't play very well and we didn't win, but you could see it. You could see it pregame. You could feel the energy from our fans. You could see the sea of Honolulu blue there. And yeah, anytime that happens on the road, dude, it's so cool. And it's really certainly cool when we're winning and, you know, potentially their fans are leaving and our fans start to get loud. That's where it's really fun. But yeah, it takes a lot of hard work to get to that point in the game. But it's fun to have our fans anywhere we go, and they travel well.
I don't know if you tripped, if it was a twist the wrong way when you were jumping up in the air, or if the wall moved. What happened on that leap? And are you training to nail it the next time? Can we expect to see a montage video of Jared Goff training to land that leap into the Lions' stands?
Yeah, I think I'm going to retire from jumping in the crowd. I think that might be the last one for me. I think my technique's wrong. I don't think I push off of the top of the wall well enough. I think that's kind of the thing I'm missing. I'm just trying to like jump in there. You can't do that. So, yeah, I think I'm going to retire from that for a little while. Maybe I'll bring it back one day, but for a little while, I'm going to stay in the stadium and feet on the grass.
Last question for you, and I hate to do this to you, but we always like to follow up on what Cal is doing. Cal's 3-0 to start the season, which is awesome. What I'm curious to know is, can you pronounce the quarterback's name?
Jaron. I believe it's Sagapuletele, right?
That's actually quite well. Yes. Yes. Doug and I were trying to pronounce this during the break. I'm like, I don't know, man.
He's a good player, man.
It's Jaron Kiawe Sagapuletele, I believe. But
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. It is hard to say, but yeah, no, I call him Jaron.
That's great. Jared, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk next week.
You guys aren't going to ask me about the coordinators this week?
No, I think, I mean, we can.
Right. Yeah, I mean, right. This is a great Johnny Morton
okay.
game.
It's okay. It's okay. I was just wondering. I'm good.
Thanks, Jared.
All right, thanks, guys. You're
better than
take
good.
Care.
Thanks.
Jared Goff, 97, won the ticket.
I had a Johnny Morton question.
Did you?
I did, but.
Short on time.
We
do have a coordinator topic we'll get to a little bit later on, but. Hey, it's Doug Carson, Scott Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Jared Goff, thank you for joining us. And thank you for the sarcasm at the end. You know, it's funny. Jared is acutely aware of what is said about the Lions, and I think he uses it quite a bit. I think he's acutely aware of what is said about himself, and I think he uses that quite a bit. I thought that was hysterical at the end. Aren't you going to ask me about the coordinators? Because, they know. I think they can use it, and I think they're a little bit edgy offensively because of all of the panic surrounding Ben Johnson's departure. Instead of dwelling on it, I think they're using it as fuel. I think that's. You know, they've turned it into a positive, if you will. That's the sense I get.
If they had scored,
by the way, I think he was just joking around with us. I don't know if anybody was just having some fun.
I don't think he was upset. If the Lions had won that game 31-21, I think everybody would say, okay, the offense might be in good hands. We're okay here. But they didn't score 31. They scored 52 freaking points, and they could have scored more. I think what they did on Sunday was completely shatter and obliterate any narrative of, you know, the change in offensive coordinator might hurt this team. I don't know if they went out to do that, if that was the purpose, or if that was part of that chip on the shoulder, whatever it was, great, fine. But I'm saying in the aftermath, to me, that's what that's what the statement was.
Yeah.
It's like, stop it with that. Look at our team. We just put up historical numbers. These are numbers that Ben Johnson didn't do.
Well, they've scored more points through two games than they did with Ben Johnson last year.
Right, but I'm saying like the all the records that they had, the 500 yards, right. the 52 points, the over 8 yards per play. I mean, that stuff is insane. And that was with this team, with Johnny Morton as the offensive coordinator, we can all stop talking about Ben Johnson.
I'm not there yet, right? I mean, clearly, one 60-minute game, you can only send so many messages in one game, right, that are resounding or... And I don't mean message. I mean, you can only send so many messages that are going to cover the entire season. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say victory lap, John Martin's as good or better than Ben Johnson. But I am going to say they went out and did exactly something they did last year, which is look like a freaking juggernaut offensively with somebody else calling the plays. And that's really, really encouraging, given... The Bears are probably not a contender, right? The Bears are probably trending to be near the bottom of the NFC. They were expected to be improved, and in the end, they might be improved. They're not there yet, and I'll feel a lot better if they go out and they do it against Baltimore, although there are questions about Baltimore's defense as well. You know, there is something to be said for that performance being a nice reminder that they still have the players to do it. Can they do it in big games? Can they do it in big games? Can they do it on the road?
Well, my thing with the coordinators has always been the offense is there. It's already been installed. You know, who's calling the plays is I don't think it plays as much of a role as what the offense already is that Dan Campbell brought in from day one. So Ben Johnson did a great job with that, and clearly that he and Jared Goff clicked. They were able to score bunches of points and piles of yards and all that, and it was great. But just because you change the guy who's calling the plays doesn't mean that the offense is going to change. They still have the same players, and now you're putting some more guys in, or you're giving some more responsibilities to guys because they have more experience. And that's what's incredibly valuable to this team, to have, you know, Jamison Williams, who's taking a big step forward this year, to have a guy like Isaac Tesla come in, and he's only made, you know, two plays, but the two plays are spectacular. But everything is kind of, now we're getting back on track here. The game Monday night is going to be different. Mm-hmm. Another one on the road. It's a night game under the lights. And I think that all that matters because the crowd's going to be loud as hell. And I think that the communication is something to really have to watch because of that hostile environment. It's not the first time the Lions have played in a hostile environment. It's not the first time the Lions have played in Baltimore. But if they can do what Jared Goff was talking about, which is communicate the line of scrimmage despite the fact that it's loud as hell, because yep. He said it shouldn't matter home or away. They know they have ways to communicate. Great. And they're going to work on that. Dan Campbell said something about that this morning. Hey, that's why bring in the 38 speakers and have them 10 feet from everybody so it's so loud that you try to duplicate what it's going to be like.
Yeah, and look, the Baltimore defense, too, on the road is going to be tougher. And I suspect in the end, Baltimore's defense is going to be better than Chicago's. But Baltimore's defense has given up 410 yards a game and 30 points a game through two games. It's possible that this isn't what we've come to expect from the Baltimore defense as far as their standard. It's only two games. They did play one hell of an offense in Buffalo in week one, and they can skew numbers earlier in the season. But, you know, it's something to monitor, Gator, is whether or not this Baltimore defense is what we've grown accustomed to. Here's one thing for sure. It's on the road. It's going to be hostile. And Jared feels like they've cleaned up a lot of the communication issues. He didn't want to get into It was a smart answer saying, I'm not going to give the Baltimore fans a right. challenge and say, yeah, we can handle them. Regarding the end, Scott says he has perfect comedic timing. When he hears something that irritates him, even a little, he bookmarks it. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, he does. 248-539-9797. Brian's in Detroit, and he's on 97.1. Hello, Brian.
Man, y'all got to be kidding me. Man, they scored 13 points against the Packers. They played a JV team, scored 52. And Gator got his chest pumped out like they the only way to doing something.
You think the Bears are a JV team, huh?
The Bears are the three worst teams in the league. They are horrible.
You think their defense is horrible?
The first week. Why didn't they score 52 the first week against Green Bay?
Well, they're playing on the road against Green Bay, and they didn't communicate
well. Man, you're making excuses. You got your chest pumped out like these guys are Super Bowl winners.
Yeah, you know what, Brian? I'll tell you what, Brian. I'll defend that. I think this team is a Super Bowl contending team. I 100% believe that, and I believe that before the season began. I believe that before and after the Green Bay game. Why should I change my opinion based on a sloppy game at Green Bay?
Because your chest wasn't pumped out like that after the first week.
Should we change our predictions?
We didn't change our predictions, Brian.
I still think this team is going to win the division. I don't care about the preseason. Gator. Nobody played in the preseason, Brian.
I think it's
right strategy to do. Why would I play my starters in the preseason?
They beat one of the worst teams in the league. You act like they're on their way to Super Bowl.
Okay.
Well, Brian, he actually thinks they can go to the Super Bowl, and so do I. What's wrong with that?
Listen, you can think it all you want. Detroit Lions, y'all might well stop lying to these people. They're not going to no Super Bowl.
Okay, Brian.
They're not going.
All right.
How your chest pumped out. I want you to have your chest pumped out.
Let me ask this. How bad is this team, Brian? How bad are they?
They are a good team. They're not in the top four. But they are in that second half. It's the Ravens, Buffalo, the Chargers, Philly, Green Bay. The Lions in the second group.
So the Lions are the third best team. You think they're the third best team in the NFC?
I think it might be the third or fourth best team in the NFC. Yes,
now fourth best. Who else is ahead of them in the NFC?
The Commanders. When they played the Commanders in the playoff, what happened, Gator? The
Commanders look real good this year so far.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Commanders.
When they played the Lions,
so the Commanders' loss at Green Bay doesn't count, but Detroit's loss at Green Bay does.
It counts. What I'm saying is, don't have your chest pumped out, man.
Don't tell me what I can or can't do. If I feel chesty about this team, which I do, I like this team a lot. Am I guaranteeing them a Super Bowl? No. Yeah, they haven't listened to anything I've said. I think this is a really good football team. It is a Super Bowl contending team, just like Green Bay and Philadelphia. And, yeah, I still think highly of Washington, even though I think they played awful to start the season. And I don't know if Jaden Daniels is going to be able to play in the next couple weeks or not. But beyond all that, I think when the smoke clears, you're looking at the Lions contending for a Super Bowl with those other teams. If you think that's me sticking my chest way out because they beat up on Chicago, what I feel is that any concern we have about the offense because they switch coordinators – I'm not that concerned about. I wasn't that concerned about it in the offseason, and I'm not concerned about it now.
We planted the flag and took a beating last week because we didn't give up on the season, because we stuck with our original predictions, which wouldn't be worth anything if we gave up on them after 1 week. Brian, nothing changed between week one and week two. I feel a little bit better about the coordinator because last year they put up 52 twice against bad teams. It's exactly what they did last year against bad teams. One was Jacksonville, and who was the other one? It was Tennessee. It wasn't Chicago. Chicago was worse last year, right? They didn't put up 52 against Chicago either time. In fact, I don't think they scored 52 in the two games against Chicago combined.
You know, the Bears were in yards given up last year. They were sixth in the NFL last year. Has the defense changed all that much for the Bears from last year to this year?
Their marquee additions were on offense, I would argue, but
last year the Bears gave up 21.8 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brian, we think they have a chance to win the Super Bowl. You don't. We're on record. But I'll tell you what Gator's not doing. He's not lying to the audience about how he feels. I can guarantee you that. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.